the James Suckling Podcast. Wine ratings, reports, interviews, and more.
Well, how are you? It's still going very well.
Good.
We're finishing the harvest today.
How does it look this year? What's your impression of the harvest?
The harvest is a bit reassuring. It's better than we expected. Of course, the yield is low because of the frost. Then, of course, big problems with mildew in June and July, mostly July. Mm-hmm. But here in Maroy, we had a little less rain than they had in the Marne Valley, west of Epernay, or that they had in the north side of the Appalachian area. Around Reims, and therefore we were able to control mildew. Our big fear was botrytis during the harvest, but all in all, it hasn't evolved very fast. And apart from the first couple of days, the weather has been good. It's been relatively cool and sunny. And as a result, I think there will be quite a few elements of high quality that we can use for vintage wines.
It was still earlier than, let's say, normal, right?
It's, compared to a historical date of for the start of the harvest, we are 1 week early. But if we compare to the recent 10 years, we are 1 week late.
That's interesting.
That's an effect of global warming. Yeah. It's quite clear now that we harvest before. What our parents used to do.
And when
I started working, we harvested around the fourth week of September. We now harvest around the second week of September. And this time it was the third week of September.
Do you think that this early harvesting, like which variety does it affect the most? Like Pinot Noir or Chardonnay or Pinot Meunier?
It affects all three because they're mm-hmm. all members of the Pinot family.
Oh, that's true.
And they're more or less bud and ripen at the same time. Pinot Meunier has a slightly shorter period. Pinot Meunier buds a little later and ripens a little faster, given the local conditions, obviously. And that's why it's generally planted in cooler and less favorable areas.
Maybe you have to rethink traditional like vineyards too, like the different crew that, let's say, your parents or villages that your parents believed were the best places for making, you know, Van Clair, making champagne in effect, that now with this change, you can rethink things slightly. No?
Well, we're thinking about it. It's something we have to take into account. But the result of warming so far has been positive. Champagne is a very cool region. It's too cold a region, or it was too cold a region. We only had two or three good vintages out of 10. We now have five or six out of 10 because it's riper, very simply.
Yeah.
I remember when I started working, the average alcohol potential in the region was 9.3. It's now 10.3. And that's progress. The ideal level in my mind is around 10.8, which is what we aim at for Van Clair, because with 10.8, we will have finished champagne at 12.2 or 12.4, which is exactly what we want. So the ideal, to me, the ideal ripeness is 10.8. We're not there yet. Well, we are at Philippe Bonnat. That's more or less what we get year in, year out, but not the whole region, not yet.
That's fascinating.
Getting there is not a problem. And besides, in the heart of Champagne, on the very calcareous soils, subsoils, ripeness is not a problem. What can be a problem is what I tend to call a purity, which is actually an aromatic character. The minerality, the salinity, the sapidity of Champagne originates in the chalk. So whenever you're on chalk, you can go a lot riper.
That's interesting.
And I think we've shown that with with Clos des Gouas. Clos des Gouas is probably the best ripening vineyard in all of Champagne. Most people would consider what we pick overripe, but it's not. It's not. It's still mineral. Even when the acidity is low, the impression of minerality is there. And that's the miracle of the good terroirs of Champagne.
Remind me how large Clos des Gouas is.
Right now, it's 5.83 hectares.
So has it grown over the years? I thought it was even smaller like 20 years ago.
For many, many, many years, it was 5.40 hectares. But 5 years ago, we exchanged a parcel that we owned against half of a parcel that we had at the very eastern end of Clos des Gouas. And we finished the monopoly in a way. But Clos des Gouas is a bit like a Bordeaux. It's a bit like a Bordeaux chateau. It's not just a vineyard in the Burgundian sense. It's rather a brand, like a Bordeaux chateau's brand. So Clos des Gouas, of course, is one group of parcels, but it's several parcels.
And but it's still a clos. You have a wall, right?
Yeah, there are walls around it, but they're more sustaining walls for the terraces rather than closures.
Right,
it's not actually enclosed. It's sustained by walls.
Okay, that's interesting. So I'm not sure I ever visited there over these years.
You're welcome to.
Thank you. Well, now I'll have to. So tell me, it's pretty interesting that finally the Place de Bordeaux is selling champagne. And I'm sorry there's not a Bordelais here, because it was sort of like, what took you so long? You know what I'm saying?
Well, the Place de Bordeaux was almost 100% Bordeaux forever.
Yeah.
Since it started. And the exceptions were only from Bordeaux. Opus One and Alma Viva are actually from Bordeaux. They're made by Bordeaux chateaus.
That's a good point.
and then the real start, I think, was with the Italians.
That's right.
That's how they started. And
then they moved to stuff like Hommage to Jacques Perrin and stuff like that. But it's pretty exciting to see Champagne. And what's attractive to you with the Place as a champagne house?
Well, we've thought sometime about it. There's a difficulty for champagne makers, and that's our existing commercial networks. Champagne houses are merchants themselves. They're not like Bordeaux properties who rely on merchants. Rely on much generally. We organize our own distribution. So leaving that, even if partly, is a big decision. It's something strategic because it's not for just this year. It's a move that will continue. But I think that it will allow us to reach better the smaller merchants around the world, wine collectors, wine lovers around the world. I think these people have come to recognize that champagne is also one of the great wines of the world. In the past, 30 years ago, champagne was only about bubble.
Yeah. So when you're looking at those sort of customers that drink, let's say, super premium high-end wines, do you think will you be focusing just on Clos des Gouas? Are you going to also introduce some other cuvées or different wines?
Well, so far we've responded to the négociant's request, which is Clos des Gouas, and also our late release of Clos des Gouas after 25 years,
That's pretty impressive.
LV for long vieillissement.
Long vieillissement.
LV means long vieillissement. So that's what we're offering through the Place now. In the future, there exists a possibility that we also sell our Grand Cru cuvée 1522, why not? But it's not part of our offer this time. And there's, of course, a possibility that we may offer other vintage wines. But I don't think we should offer too large a range through Laplace. And I don't think we should offer the wines that usually go through the usual retail networks.
Exactly.
I don't think it's adapted. When we sell to restaurants, we have to go and visit the restaurants every 2 weeks. Laplace will not do that. So that's our responsibility to continue doing the capillarity job in the mainstream networks. But when it comes to the merchants and the high end, Laplace will do a good job and will complement our own network. We're not going to abandon our own network.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll be maintaining your same importers. You'll be
yes.
I mean, it's so you're hoping more to like reach smaller markets, like who knows where it could be. Like wherever the Bordelais, you're very good, like in well, China and small markets, like whether it could be you'll finally sell wine in Kazakhstan or someplace, Mongol, somewhere. Like
there's some of that, but it's not the main objective.
Yeah.
The main objective is to reach more of the specialist merchants. Typically our distribution for Clos des Gois is that we do have one or two distributors in any country, and we only have one or two. By going through Laplace, we'll have 20.
Yeah,
and we'll reach more customers. We'll reach more consumers.
That's very exciting.
We'll reach more wine buffs.
So
one place where it's already happening, because we've already received many requests through the négociant, is Germany.
Oh, interesting. So you're up to that. And again, they have a strong network of people, a traditional network of people buying, you know, fine Bordeaux as well. So tell me a little bit about your view on the 2012 vintage in Champagne, and particularly the Clos des Gois.
2012 is a vintage I like very much. Mm. I consider it the best vintage I've made.
Oh,
since
wow,
I've been running the winery starting in 2000, is the ripest vintage that we've had in my tenure, riper than 2000, riper than 2003. But yet, it is mineral. Yet, it is pure. It is aromatically delicate. It is, after 10 years, still fruity with raspberry characters.
Yeah.
Has all these layers of complexity without any heaviness. That's why I like it. And
perfect.
The acidity was good.
It's quite dry on the finish. Also, like it's rich, and then it has a nice finish, like layered, and then dry at the end. Really,
and then dry.
Pretty
wine. The dryness at the end comes from the chalky minerality I was talking about before, and also from the fact that we do not make it undergo the malolactic fermentation. So we've got the full malic acid in it, which balances the ripeness. The ripeness is high. We have to balance that with a sensation of freshness. And we do that naturally by not doing the malo. But even though it was very ripe, it was still acid. The total acidity is around 8 grams of sulfuric acid, which is high for a ripe vintage. We'll have something similar this year. And it's also similar to what we got in 2013, which will come next year. These are ripe and acid vintages.
I like the 13s that I've had. I've liked very much. I think it's going to be, I like the vintage. Like it's more of a sort of classic style with that acidity at the end of later harvest. Really beautiful wines.
An October harvest, the only October harvest in the 2010s.
Yeah, remember?
And we didn't see it coming.
Yeah,
we thought it was a normal vintage, not a bad one, normal vintage. But in the end, it's very promising.
Yeah, that was really the old style from the 80s when you know, when we just started out. But how about the 96 is a very special wine to. Was that so? When did you do Dégorgement.
Yeah, the dégorgement. We did that in March. In March this year.
Okay.
We now have a pattern of releasing one LV every year since we make Clos des Bois every year. And we always disgorge it in March and present it to the public and the critics and the merchants in September for physical release from January on.
How many bottles did you release? Does it say on the...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. We so far, we've disgorged 900 bottles.
Okay, so it's very, very small release. And it really
has... Clos des Bois is small. We make anywhere between 10 and 35,000 bottles. Average is around 25,000 bottles a year. So when we keep 2,000 bottles in our unotech, it's already a big effort.
It really has that sort of, in a positive, it's very steely, and then has this sort of, there is some rancio, like from yeast, but not in a negative sense. It changes a lot too, but you definitely get like the pâte, you know, the pastry dough and all that.
Yeah, with almonds.
Yeah, exactly.
I get some almond cream with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very pastry-like, which is nice considering the very, very high acidity of the vintage.
What do you normally do? And what do you normally like to drink with this? Are you more aperitif or you drink it with a meal? Because it's a very special character. It's very rich too.
Well, with Clos des Bois in general, I like to go with the meal. Clos des Bois can go with meat. Clos des Bois can go, of course, with poultry or white meat. Oh. It can also go with cheese. I like the croûte lavée, the washed crust cheeses.
Master
or maroilles type. I think that goes very well with Clos des Bois. Now with 96 now, considering it has that slight rancio character you were...
Or cheese too, like hinting now at. You mentioned it, yeah.
I think some nice fat poultry would work well for Christmas time, or like a poulard au vin jaune or something like that would be wonderful.
Whoa. it's exceptional wine. So listen, Charles, thanks so much for the conversation.
Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, and it was good to catch up. It's nice to see you again. I look forward to actually seeing the Clos when I can finally travel again from Hong Kong.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I hope you can.
Okay, listen, bon weekend, and nice to see you. Congratulations on the move within the Place de Bordeaux.
Merci beaucoup. We're very excited.
Okay, great. À bientôt, merci.
À bientôt. Au revoir.